Welcome to democracyonthemove.org, a podcast tribute to the people and organizations who dare to reimagine our nation and drive it toward its true democratic principles. Content for this episode was recorded on Sunday, February 14, 2021, Valentine's Day. I'm Dan Schaefer, producer of the podcast, and thank you for joining us today. Well, this will be a short podcast, as I have no guests to chat with this time around. I like to book guests for this podcast, but I'm not always that successful at it. Not that people are not interested in appearing on a podcast, but there are so many hours in the day, and, well, podcasts don't always get the highest priority when exciting things are going on. This past week, for example, we saw the second impeachment trial for Donald Trump, and we saw again that there was a general acquittal. It's interesting that on this occasion, seven Republicans sided with all the Democrats to vote for conviction. It's interesting for me to watch this unfold because I personally believe it's a type of sorting process taking place. There are Republicans who would like to move on and leave Trump in the rearview mirror, and there are others who, for whatever reason, continue to cling to Trump. The Trump Republicans outnumber the non-Trump Republicans by a fairly high margin, 85 to 15% by some accounts. This correlates with the percentage of Republican senators that voted to convict. Even more interesting is Mitch McConnell, now the Senate Minority Leader. He appears to be standing over the fracture with one leg on each side. He voted to not convict, but then immediately after the vote, he delivered a stinging personal rebuke of Trump. It's as if he thinks he can hold together the Republican Party by squeezing his legs together really hard. Here's his rebuke.
There's no question, none, that President Trump is practically and morally responsible for provoking the events of the day. No question about it. The people who stormed this building believed they were acting on the wishes and instructions of their president. The president did not act swiftly. He did not do his job. He didn't take steps so federal law could be faithfully executed and order restored. No. Instead, according to public reports, he watched television happily, as the chaos unfolded. He kept pressing his scheme to overturn the election. Now, even after it was clear to any reasonable observer that Vice President Pence was in serious danger, even as the mob, carrying Trump banners, was beating cops and breaching perimeters, the president sent a further tweet attacking his own vice president. Now, predictably and foreseeably under the circumstances, members of the mob seemed to interpret this as a further inspiration to lawlessness and violence, not surprisingly. The Senate's decision today does not condone anything that happened on or before that terrible day. It simply shows that senators did what the former president failed to do. We put our constitutional duty first.
From what I understand, there's very little love lost between McConnell and Trump. Ironically, as I talk about this, it's Valentine's Day, a time to reflect on love. So as the iceberg of Republicanism fractures into two chunks, one big and one small, the people riding on the bigger chunk includes Senator Josh Hawley. He's no doubt hoping that that chunk drifts and washes up on the shores of Trump Island, probably somewhere near Mar-a-Lago. I've never heard of an iceberg making it all the way to Florida, but these are different times. Senator Hawley brings to my mind the idea of what we now call the, quote, cancel culture. I wasn't sure what the term means, so I looked it up on the irrefutable orb of knowledge known as Wikipedia. Here's what it says. Cancel culture is a modern form of ostracism in which someone is thrust out of social or professional circles, either online, social media, or in the real world, or both. Those who are subject to this ostracism are said to be, quote, canceled. Merriam-Webster notes that to cancel, as used in this context, means to, quote, to stop giving support to that person. While Dictionary.com, in its pop culture dictionary, defines cancel culture as, quote, withdrawing support for public figures and companies after they have done or said something considered objectionable or offensive. The expression cancel culture has mostly negative connotations and is commonly used in debates on free speech and censorship. Senator Hawley is upset because Simon & Schuster has decided to not publish his latest book called The Tyranny of Big Tech. I read the short summary of this book published on Amazon, and I have to admit, I'm very curious to read what Senator Hawley has written. The very first sentence of the summary is written in bold letters, and it declares, quote, "The reign of big tech is here, and Americans' First Amendment rights hang by a keystroke." The summary goes on to say that giant corporations like Google, Amazon, and Apple have formed a sort of techno-oligarchy with overwhelming economic and political power. Apparently, Hawley goes on to argue in this book that these megacorporations with their big, huge databases of personal information on nearly every American are exercising undue influence over our freedoms. Now, I don't know for sure because I have not yet had an opportunity to read the book, but I can only guess that cancel culture figures prominently into the equation somehow. That is, somehow these megacorporations are manipulating our free speech and effectively canceling out our First Amendment rights. Personally, I share that concern, but I also believe there is a spectrum of colors that exist between black and white. On one side, you don't want to curb people's free speech. One ought to be able to speak to his or her truth and make the speech available for anyone to hear, much like I'm currently doing with this podcast. On the other hand, I gotta admit, showing a raised fist to an angry crowd and fanning the flames of violence goes too far in the other direction. You have the freedom to speak your truth, but if your truth results in physical violence, then you violated another person's right to security. Whose rights are more important in this situation? Well, I believe that if you live in a compassionate society, you have to protect individuals. It's in the preamble of the Constitution, you know, the part that speaks about domestic tranquility. The term domestic tranquility is taken to mean peace at home, home as in our individual homes as well as within the borders of our country. In other words, inciting violence with your words can find you a place in your local jail. But as we've learned in the Senate impeachment trial, that's not necessarily always true. So why do I talk about cancel culture? Cancel culture occurs when people don't want to hear what you have to say. You see, people in general have a right to talk back when they don't like what you're saying. They don't necessarily talk back in their own words. They often talk back by pressuring advertisers to stop supporting the megaphone through which you exercise your free speech. Stated a different way, you have the right to talk, but you do not have the right to force people to listen. But there's a more immature side to the argument against cancel culture. When Simon & Schuster decided to not publish Senator Hawley's book because of his unpopular objections to the last election, they took away his megaphone. Senator Hawley suddenly portrayed himself as the victim, a victim of cancel culture. Now this is where I have to put my foot down. Senator Hawley is not a victim of anything other than his own actions. He doesn't have the right to force a book publisher to print his book and distribute it any more than he has the right to force us all to purchase it. But by portraying himself as a victim, he distracts us from his own unpopular actions that resulted in the book cancellation. I say that this is an action of an immature person because it's a typical argumentative ploy called, quote, playing the victim. Again, turning to the all-knowing orb of knowledge of Wikipedia, the argumentative tactic known as victim playing is the fabrication or exaggeration of victimhood for a variety of reasons, such as to justify abuse of others, to manipulate others, a coping strategy, attention-seeking, or, as I believe applies to Senator Hawley, a diffusion of responsibility. Senator Hawley is a very smart and educated lawyer. He knows how to portray and elicit sympathy for his clients. In this case, he is his own client, and claiming he's a victim of cancel culture is his own immature attempt to recruit the general population to his point of view. But he's not fooling me. And I suspect you can only play the victim card for so long until people get tired of hearing about it and practice a bit of cancellation themselves. Well, as I said, this is a short podcast, and that's it for this week. You've been listening to Democracy on the Move, a tribute to all those people and organizations who dare to reimagine our nation and drive it back to its true democratic principles. Please tune in each week where we feature guests and topics that'll keep you in touch with our march toward a more perfect union. If you have any suggestions for stories and or people you think we should cover at Democracy on the Move, please contact us through our website contact page at democracyonthemove.org/contact or send us an email at info@democracyonthemove.org. You can also comment on our Twitter page at All on the Move. If you find today's podcast interesting and informative, please tell your friends and family about us. And if you'd like to help sponsor the podcast at Democracy on the Move, please contact us through the website or email. I'm Dan Schaefer, producer of the podcast, and I'd like to thank you for tuning in. It's been my pleasure to be with you today. Please have a safe week ahead, and we hope you will tune in to our next show.